CliffCentral.com.
How cool is that? Nice, huh? It's called Justice Fire.
They are French.
Are they French?
Yeah.
Ah, they're French.
And for the music video for this, they thought there was only one woman in the entire world that could illustrate the sexiness, and it was Susan Sarandon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
She's in this music video.
So when is this, how old is this song?
Last year.
They got Susan Sarandon in her 70s.
Really?
Yeah, because they
good for her.
They thought she's
maybe 60s, but she's
of timeless beauty, and
she
there
is.
She is in tight jeans. And
I've seen Susan Sarandon in person,
dancing and stuff.
I stayed in the same hotel as her once in LA. She's really beautiful.
Wow.
And she's an incredible actress, and she has not aged badly.
Yes, she's 70 on the dot.
There we go. You see?
Bow, chicka, bow, wow.
Yeah, last time we had sex, she told me she was 68, so I just did the calculations.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. A couple of things I want to do this morning. We're going to get Martin Smith in a moment. I call him Martin because we've been talking about Australians this morning. But Martin works with Anthea, so he's in like asset management and stuff, but he has a guitar and he plays songs. And I just like people who are not the... They don't fit the mold. There's no stereotype that applies to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how could you play the guitar and sing and also be an asset manager? You don't hear that often. Like, we met a guy at Investec the other day, Sia, who also plays guitar. He's in a band.
Yes.
Dion.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, all right. Head.
Yeah, he's like in charge of private banking there, and he's very, very smart, and he does his job extremely well, but he also picks up a guitar and does session musician work, which is the hardest kind of guitar work, because you have to get in that studio, deliver your track, get out. Otherwise, you cost everybody money, so it has to be right every time.
So maybe I could actually end up like finding a cure for something or splitting an atom.
You could. This is not
probably
all,
not, but I could.
See, yeah, this is not all you are destined for.
Probably
there's
not.
There's always more. All right. All right, all right, all right. Oh, man, I've set up such awesome interviews for the next couple of weeks. There are going to be some interesting people on the show.
Oh.
Yeah,
do
really
a little
cool
sneak peek spoiler situation.
Yeah. Look up a guy called Peter Boghossian. Boghossian. He's like this incredible intellectual. Okay, let me spell it for you slowly.
Boghossian. Ah.
He's an assistant professor of philosophy at Portland State University. And he talks about things like critical thinking, the philosophy of education, moral reasoning. He's an outspoken atheist.
Oh,
and very, very interesting man to listen to. Just one of those people who, like, his brain just cuts through the clutter instantly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And already when you Google Peter, you get Gad Saad as well.
Yeah.
Who you spoke to, right?
And I'm going to play out that interview on Tuesday next week, so get ready for that. Lucas, do you want to bring Martin in? Let's talk to him now. Don't waste the guy's time. He's got to get back to his actual job.
Yeah.
Good things to do. It may be Friday, but people's work is never done. Hey, Martin, how are you, man?
Hey, guys.
Yeah, come in. Sit down. You've been here before. It's not as if you should be nervous to see us. The only one you should be nervous of is my buddy. By the way, some quick messages for my buddy. Double D says, my buddy, who will be the needle of your moral compass this weekend?
You don't know him, so it would be pointless for me to reveal the person.
But you could still tease the situation a little bit, Mabs. No?
No.
Moral compass. Come on. And then Double D also says, Gareth, listening to yesterday regarding the tax increase, it's not paying tax that's the problem. It's not getting something in return. South Africa's tax gets wasted. Look how shit the hospitals are. In Scandinavia, you get free schools, free housing, etc. South Africa is a socialist state if you look at our tax bracket, but there is no evidence of socialism on the ground. In other words, the ordinary people don't benefit from taxes. Well, in some ways, I mean, you can argue that 16 to 17 million people are on social grants, which is a kind of welfare. So in some way, those people's lives are much improved by this system. But yeah, I do know what you mean. You don't get any benefit for your taxes. Other people may. And many people in politics have benefited enormously from your taxes. Greg says, the song choice by Ben makes me think he loves himself a good bell-bottom jeans with an afro. Because of his head size, it's a massive afro with an open collar shirt. Hey, Ben, some compliments for you on your song. What?
That's quite a stretch.
Quite a stretch, he says. He's shouting from the background. All right, Martin, I'm interested in what you do because, like, you're asset manager by day, a musician by night.
Yeah, I think that's one way to look at it, I guess.
Yeah. I like the fact that you don't conform to the rules. People want you to be one thing in the world, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And we're all multifaceted human beings. I mean, Everyone's got something that they do. No one's just defined by one aspect of who they are.
Isn't it amazing, though? You'll go out and you'll play, you'll play a guitar at a bar, or you'll do it for a couple of friends at like a house party or whatever. And if they meet you there for the first time, they're like, wow, Martin the musician.
Yeah.
And I think you're this creative, interesting guy, and you are. And then if they meet you in your suit at the office on a Tuesday afternoon meeting with people about company reports and share portfolios, they'll go, oh, wow, Martin the asset manager. And they can't in their heads. People are so screwed over by our own programming in that we are patent-seeking mammals, that we cannot possibly imagine a world where they could be the same Martin.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And again, I think it applies to every single kind of person. I mean, people don't fit in boxes, but people like to put people in boxes to kind of make sense of it and make sense of their world. And
this is what's so weird is we don't like, if you think of yourself, you don't want to be put into boxes. You don't want to be classified by people.
No.
Into a category, but you do it with everyone else.
Yeah, it's extremely ironic.
So how did you start with the music? Because I'm sure that started long before anything else.
Yeah, so I guess I was probably like any 11, 12-year-old kid trying to impress girls, and I thought that was kind of a good way in. And
my mother always used to say, learn to play the guitar, because if you play the guitar, you can take it everywhere you go, right? Is that what you also heard?
100%.
If you learn to play a piano, it's not like you're going to load that on the car every time you go to a friend's house.
It's like the jazz flute from that scene from Anchorman.
Right, exactly.
So actually, interestingly enough, do you remember a guy called Justin Serrao, who was on Idols?
Yeah.
So him and I...
Of course I don't. Are you crazy?
Yeah, I mean, what did that? So him and I were actually in a band together, and obviously he's doing really good things now musically.
No, he's awesome.
So as 12-year-olds, myself, him, and another guy called KJ, who plays for Manners Machine.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then we were a little punk band running around with our skateboard.
Punk band?
Yeah, punk band, skateboards.
So this was
classic
Blink-182. Was this at the time of Blink-182?
Yeah, classic.
And I suppose Avril Lavigne and Green Day and that kind of thing, right?
Exactly in that mold. That was kind of
awesome.
Kind of our thinking. So we were 12-year-olds running around doing that, playing guitars and just being idiots, I guess.
But you thought you were cool.
Oh, 100%. We had those backwards hats and those big Van shoes that were...
Yeah, and you remember those? You were skater boys.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. And did you actually perform well, or were you shitty?
Yeah, probably not the best, let's be fair. But I mean... Like I said, Justin and KJ have gone on to become really, really good musicians.
And
like,
you ended up becoming an asset manager. Did they feel you betrayed them?
No, they're chill. They're good guys. They just have a good laugh about it. But it is funny how we still all kind of have some kind of touch with music.
Yeah, but do you you don't still sort of perform that kind of music? You've
gone
away from that completely.
Yeah, no, I think that was definitely
a
phase.
You can't do that now.
Right? Okay. I could. I don't think anyone would like it. But
so you had a launch last year. See, I went.
Yes.
You know, you invited me and I'm useless, so I didn't go.
No stress. I know you're a busy guy.
No, well, I wasn't busy. I didn't want to go anywhere. I support you. That's why you're here now.
Thanks, Gareth.
But I leave home to come here and do the show. And then get home again as soon as possible.
No, it's I feel you, and especially in this weather, I feel you even more.
Yeah. So how's it going, the career?
Yeah, it's cool.
Music career.
Yeah, it's cool, I guess. I mean, I didn't really do it to maybe like launch a career. Like my my sort of objective wasn't to get more gigs or to even make money from this, It was purely like a passion project. My whole aim was literally just to produce something and launch it properly, something that I was proud of and something that resonated with me. And I kind of got at it exactly what I wanted to. Like, I'm really proud of the outcome of the album. It was an awesome launch.
Putting on albums, really crazy thing to do though in 2017 and 2016 when you launched it, because nobody really does that anymore. People put out singles, and I love an album, don't get me wrong, because it's like writing a book or creating a work of art. It has to be complete. You can't do just this corner of the canvas and say, here's my painting.
100%.
An album gives people there's usually a story attached to the song. You write your own music.
And it's exactly what you're talking about at the beginning of the show. Like, we're all multifaceted people. We've all got different aspects to who we are. One song doesn't necessarily show that picture. Do you know what I mean? If you have a collection of work, it kind of gives you a holistic view of what you're trying to say or what story you're trying to tell. And most of my songs, they aren't really sort of revolve around a specific topic, like one girl or one event. It's kind of like there's a golden thread that runs through everything, like an amalgamation of ideas and themes and things that kind of all mush together, if that makes sense.
So yeah,
to release one song, I don't think it would have been fair to.
I don't want to bore everybody with me and you talking about music all day. There are two questions I need to answer. Number one, did being a musician ever get you laid? Because that's why you did it in the beginning. I know that. Tell the truth. Yes, it did. He put his thumbs up. And that'll work. Just wink twice if it got you laid more than 10 times.
I don't know if my mom
wants
to be listening.
Yes, he says yes. That's very good. Okay, and then the other question is, what are the other asset managers? Now, people in financial services are horrible people mostly. They're very egotistical. They can be real shits. They're competitive as all hell. There's a lot of alpha male activity in there, even from the girls.
Yeah.
And they will take any opportunity to mock and ridicule you.
No, look, I think where Anthony and I work, it's definitely very alpha orientated. Very good bunch of people, though.
Yeah,
I
there's
have to
no
say.
Time for people to sit and talk about their feelings.
Yeah, no, but it is definitely like I went to all boys school. I was in res and varsity. Like, I've been around like those kinds of environments. When I walked in there, I was like, I'm in the jungle. Like, it was like alpha male.
Wow.
It was frightening a little bit. But no, the guys have all been quite cool. I mean, as long as you're kind of strong about what you are and you're good at what you do and you work hard. And the dad, I think Oak's really mind too much. And like, there were probably like 50 people from my office at the
That's
launch.
That's cool. Supportive.
Including Anthea, including my boss, including the CEO of the company.
Nice.
Like, everyone kind of, I think they were very supportive, which is awesome.
That's very cool.
But they definitely do mock me about it.
I just got this message from Louis. He says, do you guys know that Garth Barnes from Crash Car Burn is an accounting lecturer at UJ? Whoa. I did not know that. See, I love hearing about that. People who just are doing different stuff. Grab your guitar. All right, what are we going to do now?
I think we're going to, should we play one song? Like, we can play the first single.
Look, I haven't got all day.
Okay, sorry.
Grab your guitar. We're going to do something live.
Okay.
I mean, I can play your songs, but people can, why don't they just buy the album, for God's sake? They can, right?
Yeah, they can buy it. It's online. On iTunes.
Yeah, there we go. Just look up Martin.
There's also
Martin Smith.
A gospel singer called Martin Smith.
Yeah, but you see also Martin Smith, that is not, it's a very straightforward name.
No, it's like an accountant name.
Yeah. Martin Smith is definitely more in financial services as a name than it is in a band or as a solo singer or singer-songwriter.
No, 100%.
You know, so maybe you should have called yourself, I don't know, something a little more wacky than that.
Yeah, I thought, and then everything, I was just like, no, these are terrible ideas. Like,
Please tell us what you went through, your shortlist.
Oh, no. I think the closest one was Phoenix Smith, which is bloody terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, no, let's stick with Martin. Go and look for Martin Smith, not the gospel singer.
The one with the lighthouse.
Oh, not Phoenix.
There we go. All right. What are you going to play here? What's this?
So this is just a song that, I mean, I've released two singles, and I don't know if you'll maybe play them later or people can buy the album or whatever it is. This is just a song that I like to play and just thought I'd enjoy playing it today. So it's a song called Silverstone. It's not going to be a single.
All right.
It's just a nice, cool acoustic song.
Let's do it.
Oh, hearts and minds, yes, they will fall in place. Oh, where does your soul lie?
Your burden bears more than you care to take, but it's in your martyr's mind. Your struggle seems to seep and halt my hope. I leave all faith behind. The selfish stories are all yours untold, but is your heart still kind? It's still kind. Reason lost along this shore. Your seas will come and seasons more. To cease my heart still sway. Was it all worth fighting for? But now you stand there ready for falling to your ways. Guided by the gauge of gods and men, not what's from inside. Your hollow hell's my heresy. I question what it is you'll find. You'll find. Seasons more to cease, my heart still sway. And was it all worth fighting for? For now you stand here ready for falling to your way.
Fantastic. All right. Very good.
Is that my mom?
That's your mom on the line. Do you want to say anything else, ma'am? Is there anything else you need to tell Martin? No, she's just dropped the line. She said she was only there just to tell you it was good. That was all. Very, very nice, man. Listen.
Thank you.
It was kind of a downer for a Friday, I got to say, though.
Yeah, I know. As I was driving and I was kidding. I'm going to ruin everyone's Friday. So I apologize.
Everyone is now thinking about that one particular ex.
Yeah. So what is that one all about? What's the song name?
That's Silverstone.
Okay. What's the deal?
Just again, like a mush of ideas and themes and life and love and loss and lessons and anything else with
life,
the L.
Love, loss, lessons. Look at you.
Anything else with the L.
No, that's cool.
Lemons.
Lemons.
How does the song come to you? Melody first?
Yeah, definitely melody first. And then lyrics. Yeah, lyrics are the most important thing to me, I think. I actually don't think of myself as a musician in this sense. I think of myself more as a writer, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's the cool thing to be. I mean, who wants to sing other people's songs?
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, so I think it just sometimes comes from, not to sound cliched or anything, but like any kind of inspiration. Like you don't know where the bloody hell it comes from.
All right, let me talk to Martin, the asset manager, for a second. So what do you make of Pravin's budget? I mean, are you happy with what's going on at the moment? This economy is it's not going anywhere fast, right?
Yeah, geez, I think it hurts the guys at the top more so. I mean, so if you ask my opinion or if you ask my kind of broader opinion, but I think overall it was a bit of a positive tone in the way that we're looking to grow the GDP a lot more. I mean, we're looking at like 1.5%, 2% in the next couple of years. It looks like that would be nice. It looks like
better than zero.
100%. It looks like the rating agencies might be off for now, off our backs for now. So I think that's also good. And hopefully with that comes with a bit of growth, with a strengthening rand, with the credit agencies off our back, it maybe comes with a little bit lower inflation. And then again, we can maybe look to push interest rates a bit lower, which then helps everyone.
And how do you think the stock market's going to perform? I mean, do you think there's any correlation here between what's going on in Treasury and what goes on there?
I mean, overall, I think it's probably neutral for stocks in South Africa, I guess. GDP growth looks better than it has in the last couple of years, which is obviously good. They've left corporate taxes unchanged. So again, that's good. And then, yeah, I think overall relatively positive. And, but I mean, I'm quite positive about this year anyway, just because we're off a much lower base. Last year was absolutely terrible, but it gives people a really good opportunity this year. I mean, things are looking a lot cheaper. And like you've seen a good rally from the market in the last few months.
Well, listen, man, good to catch up with you. I'm going to play a bit of Carla later on.
Maybe play it on Monday when people don't feel like being sad.
Oh, is it a sad song?
Classic.
All right. Okay, I'll play
it. I need some kind of outlet.
All right.
Perfect, guys. Thank you very much for having me.
If you want to buy Martin's stuff, go along to iTunes and look up Martin Smith. It's got a little lighthouse on it. That's how you know it's his.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
No, it's always good to see you. All right.
Cheers,
here we
guys.
Go.
Thanks.
See ya.
Yay.
You don't have to be one thing in your life. You could be many things.
So basically, Martin is going to make sure I'm hired as well. Yes. I can totally handle.
Yes, you're the greatest singer, Sia.
Guys, Sia Martin
such
and Sia
a
duet.
Yeah, of please, course.
I'm seeing this happen.
Of course.
And please. He's down. Yes.
You want to lose all your musical
credibility?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just hire Sia for 5 minutes.
Basically, yes.
Hey, John Flismas is joining us after 8.
Ooh.
He's got a new show. I love talking to that guy. I don't think I've ever had a boring conversation with John. I don't think I've ever spoken to him and had just small talk.
He's so intelligent.
Yeah, he's really smart.
But at the same time, describing him as someone who has quick wit is almost an understatement. I was watching a special on Comedy Central this week, and it was a rerun of a show they had done a couple of months ago. But it's just like you actually marvel at how quickly the guy's brain works.
He's a genius. He's an absolute genius. All right. I need Ben here. Ben found a video of an ugly, hideous, monstrous Australian crone who works in a factory or something. You know, these people, because these days, I mean, before you'd have to have cast ugly people in a play to see someone who looks like this. But this she's a factory worker, right, in Australia?
Ooh, plot twist, actually. Okay. So there's this new bill that's been passed that if you work in retail, you get less chance to make money.
Okay.
So there's this guy who's been like just pleading poverty.
That's a man?
No, listen to the story, Gareth. So there's a guy who's been pleading poverty saying, oh, these cuts are going to affect me. I'm going to make less money because I need Sunday money to make ends meet, all this kind of stuff. Turns out it doesn't affect this guy whatsoever. He's just some political leftist hippie someone.
Okay.
But this woman who I found the clip of, it will actually affect her. And she's irate, rightfully. And she poses a very interesting question to a politician about saying, can you... Because they believe that it's okay to live on, I don't know, $600, whatever it is.
They're like a minimum wage.
Yeah. So she looks him square in the eyes and says, could you live on this, Mr. Prime Minister? And it's quite touching. You know, we talked about people who...
All right. But she looks like she's been run over by a bus and attacked by crows.
Oh, man.
At the same time.
Beauty lies in the eye of the beholder.
There's no beauty. Okay. Sia, if I gave you $10 million... you would not be able to French kiss this woman.
Well, you know the only woman I'll do that with is Oprah. So.
All right. Yeah, let's move on. We've already had that dare. Someone sent in a message yesterday asking everybody very, very personal questions. All right. Here, listen to her quickly. Here she is. She's asking the Prime Minister of Australia about minimum wage.
My name's Evelyn Kathner, and I work at Spotlight in Campbelltown. And I'll tell you, I earn $600 a week.
Sure.
$600 a week, and I stand to lose $80. Could anybody do the math on how much they have to spend on their groceries, on their rent, on their water, on their internet? you know, and I'm sure it's going to come way above $600. At $80 is a huge amount. I'm telling you, the truth is, this is no longer the lucky country. For many of us out in retail, this country has gone downhill. And who gets picked on every time? The ones that cannot afford it. That's right. Malcolm Fraser, I'm going to say, excuse me.
Jesus, Malcolm Fraser was Prime Minister in the 80s.
Malcolm Turnbull,
yeah.
Can you live on $600? Try it. That's all I have to say. Sorry.
I feel kind of sorry for her. She looks disgusting, but I feel sorry for her.
But you've always got to admire when an Australian can speak for a minute and a half and not swear.
Yes.
You can see she's fighting it the whole time.
Let's give her a round of applause for that. That's very good. Oh,
nice. She's trying so hard. She was about to say a shitload of money, and yeah. She was like,
I'm not going to say it because I'm on the telly.
So anyway, the point of this is that these politicians and these other people are using poor people like Evelyn. I think her name was, as pawns in this whole thing. And they're like, yeah, we're not getting cut. But hey, Evelyn, let's wheel you up front here. It's a poor woman.
She's losing $80 out of 600 a week. That's a lot of cash for her.
Wow, you adopted the accent now.
But if it's a lot of cash for her.
But also,
she's having a crappy time. Do you want to hear her favorite song?
Uh-oh.
Huh?
Her favorite song as an Australian.
Yes, she's an Australian. I'll play you her favorite song.
Kylie Minogue.
This is what she sings when she gets home after a hard day's work at the factory. You ready?
I've had an absolute cunt of a day. Everything that could go did go wrong.
In fact, this is her singing.
Use the word cunt in a song. Had an absolute cunt of a day.
What happened?
Started as a fart in bed. Oh. Well, it started as a fart, but I shit myself instead. And the fucking miss is going off my fucking head. I've had an absolute cunt of a day. And running to the dunny like a bastard. Trying to hold it in with me finger up me ass. And skidding past the kids and them little cunts laughing. Had an absolute cunt of a day. I've had an absolute cunt of a day. Everything that could go did go wrong. So if I'm allowed to use the word cunt in a song, had an absolute cunt of a day.
Right, have you? It's Friday.
No hot water, had to take a cold shower. Scrubbing shit from every orifice took a fucking hour. Then fuck, 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 no fucking towels. Had an absolute cunt of a day. Pulling on me jeans and tripped. Busted me nose and split me fucking lip. And then got me cock caught in me fucking zip. I've had an absolute cunt of a day. Help me! I've had an absolute cunt of a day.
More Australians know this song than their national anthem, just by the way.
Everything that could go did go wrong. So if I'm allowed to use the word cunt in a song, had an absolute cunt of a day. And driving myself to the docks, packet of tissues wrapped around me cock. Not a good time to get stopped by the cops. I've had an absolute cunt of a day. The bastard didn't even let me explain. Just cuffed me up and hauled me off to jail. No fucking phone call, no fucking bail. I've had an absolute cunt of a day. Your turn. I've had an absolute cunt of a day.
See, they know the song.
Everything that could go did go wrong. So if I'm allowed to use the word cunt in a song, had an absolute cunt of a day. So, Your Honour, that's how it is. That's exactly how it started and how it ended up here. And you bastards laughing ain't making it any easier. I've had an absolute cunt of a day. And I'm in too much fucking pain to plead. And I don't give a fuck if you don't believe me. Just take me out the back and fucking shoot me, please. I've had an absolute cunt of a day.
Wow. How do you like that? There's always more. Anyway, I mean, you get the basic idea. That actually was proposed as Australia's national anthem once. And they got very close. That was defeated 55-45. Otherwise, it might have been the actual anthem of the country.
I think that should be a global Monday anthem.
Isn't it great?
It would have worked. But just getting back to that.
Palessa's face, by the way, when she heard the song, she was like, oh my God, is that a real song? Can you believe that?
I echo her sentiments.
Terrible. Hey, just test that microphone for me, Palessa. Let me see if it works. Yeah? Talk to me.
Hi, Gareth.
Oh, it's so soft.
Mm.
There's no way you can boost it on your side?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's no good then. Damn, I was gonna have you on. All right.
Just getting back to that whole minimum wage thing to make you realize how expensive it is to live in Australia. So that woman's literally folding shirts for a living, right?
Right.
And she's making like 24,000 rand a month, and she can't make ends meet on 24,000 rand a month.
So that's how expensive
folding
it is.
Folding shirts.
That's how expensive
Australia is, right?
It is to live there, yeah.
Like here, you're not exactly the breadline on 24,000 rand a month.
No, a lot of people would be thrilled with 24,000 rand a month.
But they're and so expensive.
Yeah, because obviously cost of living is very high. And their taxes are very high in Australia. Much higher than here. So there's another reason to be happy that you're in South Africa this week. Anyway, I don't want to get into comparing countries because for us that's not really the greatest idea in the world. All right, well, let's look at some news. There's lots of stuff going on in the world that we need to talk about before John Flismus pops by. So where do we go first? Well, yesterday I played a clip that John sent me from Nick Patera. Do you remember? The guy who can sing very high? And he said, just heard the bit on Nick Patera now. My apologies for the show tunes. Because in the clip, he sings a bunch of songs from Les Mis. It's the first video I saw the guy and was mesmerized by the range. What a fun segment, though. As an aside, just want to say you guys have completely replaced radio for me. I love that there is an independent source of news and commentary about current affairs and more that isn't smothered by some bloated and corrupt governing body. I think that what you guys do is extremely important in this day and age, and I definitely make sure to tell my friends and whomever I think will be interested in you guys. Keep up the great work, John. Well, let's give John a round of applause and thank him, because every word that you pass on to someone else, I'm delighted with. Because it means more people can come join our party. And the stronger we all get, and the more people listen to us, and the more successful we are, the more stuff we could open up that caters to your individual needs. I mean, ultimately, my big dream is that there will be a show for everything. And if you are interested in the most minute thing, there will be someone who's an expert or who's a fan doing an amazing show about that thing. You know, that's where Casper De Vries said to me a while ago, he wants to do a show on just musicals because he loves musicals and I hate them. But it doesn't matter what I think because there are enough people who like musicals, right? So he should. So you're going to hear lots of interesting things from us in the next couple of months. And I'm just always blown away by the people who do listen to us, the quality of the people who listen to us. It just makes me happy. Gareth, please go to, there's a website. It's a quite interesting topic and show. Can you please put it on your show next time? You will love it if you haven't seen it yet. Great show, guys. Keep me posted when you put it on your show. Take care. Activist is his name. Bule Bule. He's an activist. Ashley says, those tough questions that the listener sent you guys yesterday were brilliant. You should try this site for some tough questions for the team. Yeah, maybe we should make that a regular. And you send us tough questions and we have to answer them.
That's good.
We've opened up Pandora's box now.
I know. We're going to get awkward and embarrassing questions.
Oh, we can just call the future Pandora's box.
Can I tell you something? If you meet someone for the first time and you ask them awkward and embarrassing personal questions, and you know we've done that with some people I've interviewed here on the show.
Yeah.
After that, you end up friends.
Always.
You get that awkward shit out of the way first. You ask them embarrassing personal stuff. Almost like a game of truth or dare. You ask people that shit first. Let me tell you something. You end up friends or you end up enemies. There's no in between. It's none of this. Well, yeah, I think I remember Sia.
Okay, I get it. It's a radical way to go about things.
Right.
But no, next time people are asking you, would you prefer a tiny boob between your eyebrows or a tiny little penis on the edge of your ear?
This is how I built a career, Sia. Yeah. So
okay. Is that how icebreakers
John T. Searle says on Sex Talk today, a South African sex toy survey. Oh.
Mm. Yes.
About time, huh?
Hmm.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, South Africans, we're not as conservative as we might have thought.
No.
About sex toys.
South Africans love them some sex toys.
Well, they're essential.
Damn right. Who wouldn't? I mean, if you... by the way, they're not just for people who are on their own. Sex toys are great in relationships too, but Jonty will tell you more. I don't know the first thing about this stuff by comparison with him. I mean, we're all idiots compared to Jonty, right? So let him fill you in. Let him enthuse you with his story about sex toys. That's all happening on cliffcentral.com this morning at 10 o'clock after the Gas Comedy Podcast and before Casper De Vries and the Casper Radio Show. Ask Ben to look up Alizée. She is damn hot in French Idols a couple of years ago. Alizée, A-L-I-Z-E-E. Mm-hmm. I spent the first half of my life being involved in art and music, and now I'm a software developer, and I'm female. It always seems to mess with people's love and need for stereotypes. That message came through. Gas Comedy is saying, make your Friday sunny and funny. Tune into the Gas Comedy Podcast, 9 o'clock on cliffcentral.com. It's going to be dope, man. Right. And then that song that we just played.
It's going to be...
I've had an absolute...
Kind of a day.
That's the one. See, I wasn't going to say it.
Oh, no, it's kind of a day.
The song has a very catchy tune. It's going to be in my head all day.
Yep.
What a classic. That's from Daniel. And me and Dave Levinson says, that show is just something else. That, have you listened to the Gas Comedy Podcast lately? They talk a lot of shit.
Yep,
Eric and
Dave.
Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Mad bastards. Completely out of control. All right, one quick thing here. Hey, Ben, 44 for three. Still think 260 is not enough? I assume he's referring to cricket, or is he talking about something more personal?
I know. Crazy. They got Pujara and Kohli in three balls. Right. Yeah, they're 65 for three. I don't think it's enough, because you do realize Australia will score 73 in this second innings.
Mubs, what's going on in the news?
Well, with all the rain that we've been having, the Department of Water and Sanitation have now warned communities living right near the floodplains of the Vaal Dam to move.
Right. Yeah, just a couple of months ago.
To move as far away as possible.
A couple of months ago it was, hey, you assholes, stop using water. We don't have any. Now they're like, can you guys move? We seem to have a bit of a problem. There's too much water around.
This is the Vaal Dam and then the Bloemhof Dam in the northwest. Projections by hydrologists say...
Excuse me, poor people, please move. The water's coming. We need you to move. Thank you.
So the hydrologists have projected that Bloemhof is going to reach 100% capacity by Saturday.
Yay.
There will be opening 8 gates to avoid the dam from bursting. And then the Vaal Dam, they're expected to open 2 gates on Sunday to avoid the same thing. So because of that, they are warning these communities of possible flooding and asking them very nicely to move. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? I love it. I'm going to have the longest shower ever.
That's not the attitude, Gareth.
Yeah.
I think water is... You know, it's just got to be managed properly, that's all. And that includes us not wasting it, obviously, at home. But
yeah,
if the Department of Water and Sanitation knew what it was doing, we wouldn't ever have situations where we have to have water restrictions. Look how much rain we've had. Fantastic. Of course, Cape Town's rainy season only starts in April, so I'm sorry about you. You're going to have to wallow in the mud for a while.
Goodness.
In fact, you're going to have to climb in the sea. If you want to be warm in Cape, clean in Cape Town, you have to get in the sea.
Which isn't actually very clean to start with.
No, but it's the best you've got.
According to Carte Blanche.
That's all you've got. Sorry, Cape Town.
Yeah, Cape Town really is their own country.
I went down to Cape Town, what was it, last Monday?
Uh-huh.
I went down, and I felt bad washing my hands and having a shower, and then coming back to Joburg.
I'm going down tomorrow. I'm going to shower like an hour before my flight.
Oh, you're going down with flight. Flaming Alan Ford.
Flaming Alan Ford and I are going to flame up Cape Town tomorrow.
Yes, how exciting.
He phoned me yesterday just to tell me about my hotel.
Tell me about this call.
27 minutes later.
This must have been some call.
Okay.
He had told me his life story. At one point, I just stopped and said, Alan, is this how most of your conversations go? He's like, no, Ben, just, you know.
Are you guys on the same flight?
No, he's there already, I think.
Ah, okay.
But what a Flaming Adam Ford is one fascinating individual.
Ooh.
He was telling me how he was going skydiving with Uist, but then they couldn't because there was too windy, so they would have ended up in Iran because they took off Dubai.
I love Alan, but let me tell you right
stories.
Now. Let me tell you right now, one of the best things you could do is take everything he says with a huge pinch of salt.
I'm not saying it. All I'm saying is he's...
Didn't he tell us about a fine young thing that he has stashed away in Cape Town? That
yeah.
Well, I'm probably going to meet him.
Oh, nice.
Suck a muck of this.
Wait, by the way, this whole skydiving situation was in the what was meant to be a brief conversation about where you were staying.
No, Uist and Alan went skydiving. Just fun of Estes.
Yeah, you're right. So
but I'm saying the call
so
was just meant to be
he phoned me, and he phoned me last week to talk about flights, right?
I'm not saying it. All I'm saying is he's...
And he was going, oh, and I was like, Alan, you okay? He's like, Alan, are you masturbating? He's like, no, I'm on the highway and I just had a blowout.
Well, a blowout?
So he phones me this time around and I was like, so Alan, how's your birthday week been going? And on the back of that, it was a 27-minute conversation.
Yeah. I'm so bad at those long conversations. I can't handle it when people want to talk to me for long. I start doing other things.
You see, some people don't care about that. Some people literally just want an ear and they can go
off. I don't
want
to talk to... I talk for a living. I come in here and talk for 3 hours every day. And then I have other talking things that I have to do afterwards.
Yep.
It involves talking. The last thing I want to do is talk to someone on the phone.
And sit. Even spend dinner with people.
Oh, what a horrible way to live. Don't talk to me. If you ever see me, don't talk to me. Just wave.
Sia and I have those long conversations on the phone.
I love them.
You two talk to each other for long times
yes.
on the phone?
Our conversations are never just short.
Absolutely. Let me have an insight into this. So let me imagine I'm eavesdropping on your conversation.
It's always something juicy, right?
Yes.
So I'll phone him and I'll be like, I'm going to tell you about what happened with this one guy. Like, it's always stuff like that.
Okay.
And then that's my cue to now, like, get comfortable wherever I am.
Do you put her on speaker?
No. You can't. No,
oh, because it's private.
Yeah. So this is either when if I am around people, maybe I run to my room, get, you know, snuggly into bed. Because, you know, you need to brace yourself.
And then sometimes you also want to, you know, test an idea that you might have.
Yes.
For someone, but you need to do it in a safe environment. So I'll phone you and I'll be like, okay, so this is what I want to do, or this is what I'm thinking about doing.
A sounding board.
Exactly.
Interesting, seeing as yesterday you were about, I don't never want to get to know you people. So it's just me, basically.
Well, Ben.
You're basically just saying, I hate you and Gareth.
Ben, you don't.
Because you're very friendly to everyone
else. You don't like people. Yeah. You've said this often. So, I mean, why are you so, like, why would this even bother you?
Would you appreciate if Mabale called
you?
You
told
with
me yesterday
troubles?
That you.
Ben would fall over and.
That you prefer meowsers because she's a cat and she's not a human. Because you hate humans. That's what you told me yesterday.
I just think she's better company. So when I go home, I don't want to have someone talking all the time to me.
You see, and I talk all the time to see her. I would
this
irritate
is, this
you.
This isn't me.
Our moral compass.
This isn't me crying out for help. I'm just, I'm very intrigued by how you are so shut off. You know, you poo-poo any idea of juice tasting and the rest, but yet you're sharing your life with Sia.
Our moral compass.
Anyway. All we're saying is everyone needs a good sounding board every now and then. Gareth, your day will come. I feel like you'll go through a phase.
What, where I want to talk to people?
Absolutely.
Gareth doesn't need a sounding board because he makes decisions on the second and doesn't consider them and then moves on.
You see, like, you might be the 8-year-old who really wants to tell someone how annoying it was that someone cut them off while you were shopping for groceries.
I don't care about sharing.
Really?
Outside of this show is where I'm at my most communicative. I love that. This is my therapy. I come in here every day. In fact, our old sales guy, Neil, used to say to me, no, I don't mean it in a, like it's a compliment to anyone.
Never mind.
It's just me. It's me being selfish.
You got way ahead of yourself this year.
I was like, oh, he's opening up. He trusts us. Oh, there's a connection. No, nothing.
I made a mistake, and I apologize for it.
Yeah, all right. As I was saying, Our sales manager used to say to me, you know, essentially what you do every day is you meditate for 3 hours. That's kind of what I do. When I'm in here doing the show, I'm focused on the show. I can't do anything else. So for someone ADD, this is great. I get to connect. I get to talk about the stuff that's going on. I get to listen. I get to interact. And for those 3 hours, there's nothing that can interrupt. Know what I mean? It's a little bit of therapy, I'm telling you. For all of us, not just for me.
But I'll still think of Ben as your Deepak Chopra.
How?
Yeah.
Because you meditate.
What does Ben do for me? No.
He's Deepak.
Wow, why don't you say it with a bit more feeling?
He's Deepak. Mabale is Maya Angelou.
Oh, yeah, okay. And I got what you mean.
And you
You're
are
like John DeMartini.
Oprah. No.
Yeah.
See ya.
John Wood.
I am literally Mike Four in Gareth's life. That's me. I'm Mike Four.
So I'll phone him and go, hey, Mike 4, what's happening?
And whether you like it or not, you're actually kind of Mike 3.
Hey, do you know what I did yesterday? I went for a tooth cleaning appointment. You know where they take that ultrasonic thing?
Love those.
You love it?
Ooh.
What, because of how it feels afterwards?
Yes. I just feel like, oh, yes.
You've got good teeth, by the way. Look at his teeth. They're perfect.
Every 6 months.
What happened to
it
you?
Is just
did you have braces?
Fantastical. No.
You just have perfect teeth.
Well, they're not perfect. But
they're pretty much perfect.
Okay, let's not like boost my ego now.
Right, Mubs? I mean, he's got good teeth.
Yeah. He's got a lot of good
what
things.
What do they use with you?
They use that ultrasonic thing, that thing that goes and it cleans all the shit off your teeth. Mm-hmm. And then I go for that every 3-4 months?
Yeah.
Because I'm obsessed.
Do you have one of those aqua flosses?
No.
You got to get one of those, Gareth.
Really? Is it good?
Well,
what are those?
What's the point of living unless you got that? If you do so much as brush your teeth, get one of these.
Okay.
You know, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Sure.
Don't mess around.
I love dental hygiene. I think it's hugely important.
Well, Aquafloss is this, yeah.
All right.
It's just like a high-pressure hose to your teeth in a very small little thing.
Do you know that I carry a toothpick and toothpaste and a toothbrush everywhere I go?
Toothpick, toothpaste, and toothbrush, wherever.
Everywhere I go. I got a little bag of stuff. Okay, so I got this nasal spray. You saw I was sneezing in the first hour. It stopped because I used that. Eye drops. Always need those.
Don't tell girls that, girl.
You always need those.
Hand cleaner. Listen to this. Toothbrush, toothpaste.
Oh,
is that
gross.
A plaster as well?
Your toothbrush doesn't have a cover on it.
No, well, I'm the only one who touches it. More waterless hand sanitizer.
Just hanging out in that bag, collecting bacteria.
These are like medicines and shit. And lip ice.
On a scale of 1 to 10 of the hypochondriac scale.
No, it's not hypochondriac. This is, there's a headache tablet in there, like a Miprodol, and my migraine stuff, that's all. That's all. That's what I got. I take this everywhere I go.
Well, you have a miniature version of the luggage bag that Sia carries around with him every day.
Mine is an all-in-one. Yes.
You have got to see. Let me tell you something. This bag of Sia's, it has wheels. And that's his little... That's the equivalent of a woman's handbag to him.
No, much bigger.
No.
Oh, for him. Yeah.
It's like a little standard.
No. So. There's nothing little about it.
It's okay.
I'm just thinking to myself, if I was to ever be marooned on an island with any of you, it will always be Mabale. The two of you would be
fuck off, Ben.
The two of you would be absolute nightmares.
How will she help you when she doesn't have any
medicine? She doesn't
medicine
need to help me. I don't need to help her. She'll just do her thing and I'll do my thing. The two of you will be
you guys
such
will
nightmares.
Die.
We won't. And if we do, we'll die on separate sides of the island. We won't interrupt each other while
Gareth
dying.
Gareth and I, if we were stuck together, would have created like a little ship boy system.
No, you would have created axes and killed yourselves at some stage. And a ship boy system. We're going back to the sailors in the Navy. See us couldn't get saved by...
I'll sing if I could turn
man
back time.
Tight
Gareth will pack.
All right.
Hello, sailor. Glad to see you.
You would rather be marooned with Mabale than anyone else?
If the options are you two guys, yeah.
Really?
That surprises me as well.
Yeah.
Mabale, who would you choose?
I would not choose Mabale.
Well, obviously, I would choose you.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go forage for fruit. Oh, no, I don't eat that. No, I don't eat that at all. No, I'm not eating that. You must be mad.
This is all we have to eat. Oh, well, then I'll just starve.
Well, I'll wait for tomorrow.
I'll just lie here and starve. You go ahead and have the coconut.
Yeah, that sounds... Yeah, I don't like coconuts, actually. Genuinely. No, genuinely.
You don't like anything. Right. What are you eating? What do you got planned for lunch today?
Right now, I'm going through phases. So,
Jesus.
I like this particular lentil.
Okay, everybody get ready. We're into the vortex. All right, go.
Lentil situation with cherry tomatoes and halloumi. They sell it like at Woolies. I'm going through a phase with that.
A whole lot of hipsters have just orgasmed. Yeah, carry on.
And over the past couple of 2 days, I've been going home late in the afternoon and having some wine.
Oh.
That's not a meal.
But then, brings me to my afternoon nap, which is ideal. And I kind of sound like a drunk now.
Carry on.
I wake up later and I have whatever's in the fridge as a little like snack for dinner.
Whatever's in the fridge?
Yeah. So if it's like there was like some leftover pizza the other day, there was some salad as well.
All right.
That's my life. This morning, I've just had hot chocolate.
I'm just pleased you could find enough to eat. If you were in a hunter-gatherer tribe back in the day...
Oh, would have died.
Yeah,
nope,
for sure.
Gone. Yeah.
I would have left you on a tree.
And then, they would have eaten him first.
Not very nutritious, I've got to tell you.
That's the only thing I have going for me.
It's not a lot of him.
Shame.
They'd be better off pulling down a gazelle.
Yeah, Shaka Zulu would not have been proud.
Yeah, and you are a proud Zulu. I mean,
would
what the hell?
Would not have been proud of me.
I ate my brother!
All right. What else is going on in the news, Mubs? We've got a bit of time before John.
So the Zimbabwe government has slammed DA leader Musi Maimane over his call this week for President Robert Mugabe to step down.
How dare you,
Musi? Mugabe, of course, turned 93 on Tuesday, and in a birthday interview, he said many supporters would be disappointed if he didn't stand in elections next year. So you see, he's doing it for his people.
Of course.
Which is what you fail to understand, you critics.
You dirty, filthy Western critics.
Last month, it was Julius Malema who said, you know what, old man, your time is up. Now, Musi Maimane has been criticized for his call for President Mugabe to step down. Zimbabwe Information Minister Christopher Moshoe is having a busy time fending off criticism from South African opposition leaders.
How dare these people? Don't you believe in the sovereignty of a country? Zimbabwe is not yours, it is mine. Do you want to hear what he said back in 1980? Bob Mugabe, when he said, he was asked, how will you lead the country?
Forever. That's how I'll lead it.
Here's what he said. Listen to this. Listen to this.
I'm Prime Minister of my country, and I intend to rule that country with firmness. I'm not going to have anybody advocate the overthrowing of a government and remain in the country. He's not one of us. If he does that, the alternative is to put him in detention, and I don't want to do that.
You seem to me to be taking a particularly hard line that might lead some people to believe that the right of dissent in your country wasn't now being allowed.
The right to overthrow a constitution doesn't exist at all on the part of everyone. It is not a right of the individual.
So all you have to do is replace the word me with the Constitution, and you've got pretty much the whole philosophy. Just while we're on this matter, someone sent me, let me just check and I'll give him credit. Sven in Switzerland sent this to me. So you want to hear what Zimbabweans said in 1980 when Robert Mugabe was elected for the first time?
Mm.
And listen to the differences between the black and the white people that were asked questions about what they expect from Zimbabwe, what they expect from Robert Mugabe now that he's won. So listen to this. They start off with a dude in the street, black guy. Listen to what he says.
He's going to give people food, houses, farms, money, and everything they want.
What's Mr. Mugabe going to do for you?
Employment for my husband, better man for my husband, schools, clinics, peace. I think that's the peace that I want.
What will you do if Mr. Mugabe doesn't give you these things?
I don't expect it. And I don't want to think about it. I'm sure he won't disappoint us. I'm sure of it.
Well, I'm sorry you had another thing coming. But listen to this. The funniest of the white people, you got to hear them. They're like, they're disgusted that like Mugabe is the prime minister. Remember, this is 1980. You got to hear what they say. All right. Here's a guy who says he just wants him to provide a good and free country to live in. The most sensible guy in the whole world.
And free country to live in.
And what else?
Jobs, good houses, better pay, and things like that.
I'm very happy about the victory of Mr. Mugabe, and I'm expecting big changes, such as people in the squatters will be removed to big to good houses, in the jobs, will be having equal jobs, equal money, and everything like that. There will be no racial discrimination between people.
How will you feel if Mr. Mugabe fails to bring these changes?
Well, that will leave it to the people.
I'd like to see if the people are as jubilant this time next year.
So that's the white dude, obviously. Oh, we'll see if there's jubilant next year. Well, next year they probably were, but I don't know so much now.
I feel sick.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Are you going to stay in Rhodesia?
I don't think so.
Where will you go?
I'd go to Britain, in spite of the weather.
A little worried. I'm hopeful that this will sort of stop the war. If it stops the war, then I'd live under any conditions, quite honestly. The war has been dreadful. I lost my husband. I have three children to support. I am worried because if he should nationalise, as has been said, I stand to lose everything.
So it's just interesting to hear these things, because this is years ago, right? 1980, when he took over as prime minister. And I mean, some of these people are not around anymore. But it would be fascinating to see what they say now, and what their point of view is now. Because clearly, you know, there's a lot of history. There's a lot of water under the bridge. And for some people, it's really got a lot worse. And for a very few people, the politicians, it's got a lot better. But one thing you absolutely can't say is that it's a great place when most of the traffic is out of Zimbabwe and not going in. That's just a fact. But anyway, thanks for that, Sven. He sent that for me out of Switzerland. Thought it would be interesting for us to hear. All right, when we come back, John Flismus is with us. I always love talking to him. I've never had a boring conversation with him. And John Flismus and I have never had small talk. Huh. Never talked about the weather or our favorite color or what we think of the government. There's always interesting stuff to talk about with this guy. And he's got a brand new show, so we'll find out all about that. It is Friday, bitches. So let's wake up. Let's get the day going. Ben, you've chosen the next song for us.
Go ahead.
Little Kanye.
Oh, yes.
All right. Take it away, Kanye. Flashing lights. Good morning.
CliffCentral.com.